And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Hey, do you know anything about the game of chess? Well, I'll admit, I know very little about chess. I think my education of games ended with Monopoly and checkers back when I was just a young tyke. No, I've never been much into games. You know, I've known people, and they tried to get me and my wife into Pinochle or whatever they call it. I don't know what all those games were. I never was into that, really, and I don't think Wanda was very much either. I think I did play a few games of dominoes. I didn't know what that was and found it very boring. And I've just never been a game person, but I have admired people who play chess. They say it's a very, should we call it, cerebral game, you know, for the eggheads and so forth. Maybe that's why I can't play it or don't want to play it. Maybe I don't have the brains for it. I don't know. You know, there are different people, different kinds of intelligence. There are people who are very verbal and can speak and think on their feet. They can organize their thoughts in their brain. You know, I've been the one that, you know, I can give speech after speech and talk after talk, and I never even look at my notes. Every one of my videos, I didn't have any scripts. I never use scripts. I just go. A lot of people are amazed that I can do that. If you get, you know, videos like Where the Rich and Famous Dwell or Illuminati Mystery Babylon or Rothschild's Choice, you say, surely you had a script you're reading. No, I just got up there and I just talked about it. Then later we come back and add all the pictures and the film to match what I have already said. That's sort of the way I do it. Some people say, you know, you must be a genius to be able to do that. No, I read a lot. I have a great memory and I work hard. And most of all, God seems to, you know, favor me in these things. Well, thank you, Lord, because there's so many things I cannot do. And so maybe it's good that I can do at least one good thing. Wanda reminds me sometimes of the things I can't do when our car breaks down. She knows I'm not going to fix it. When her refrigerator goes out, she knows I'm going to have to get a repairman in. That's when everybody learns how dumb Tex Mars is. I can write books, but I can't fix a fan or an air conditioner. And I've always considered that people can do those things or even unplug my toilet to be maybe smarter than I am. They can do things that I can't even handle. I appreciate people like that. You know, Jerry here in my office, I have to have him drag him out and say, help me on this computer. It's locked up. It seems to be easy to Jerry. I don't know why it's not easy to me. Wanda can play all kind of instruments. She plays a Hawaiian guitar and she plays an organ and she plays the piano. How can she do that? You know, how can she do all those things? And she sews. She has several different kinds of sewing machines, including this one that's like computerized. You know, I mean, she went from many, many years ago, just the old kind, you know, to this thing you got to put some kind of card in it, computer card. And I told her, how can you do that? She said, well, it's just fun. I love sewing. Okay, well, some people can cook. I can eat good, but I can't cook it. So I need one to help me in that area, or maybe some restaurant or something, or, you know, even Dairy Queen or McDonald's. Some other place than Texas Mind is where cooking goes on, I can tell you that. And so if a person told me they played chess, I was like, they must be a brain. I want to talk to you today about a very interesting man. I never met Bobby Fischer, but I certainly knew about him. Bobby Fischer, very handsome man, tall, striking. He was on the cover of Life magazine back in the early 70s. They call him, right there on the cover of Life, the brain. The brain. Well, you can imagine he played chess. He was called the deadly gamesman. Almost nobody beat this guy. Now, a lot of people who play chess
sort of come from the rich set too. You know, when I was a kid, I always thought anybody that plays tennis or chess have to come from a rich family. Wasn't true, of course. Just that I was born in a very poor family and raised extremely poor. Bobby Fischer, though, was no rich man. He did not come from a wealthy home. In fact, he came from the streets of New York, and well, he was born very poor. His father had abandoned his mother, and she was a single mom. At one time, she had three jobs. She mopped floors at a hospital. She took in ironing. He had a mother who loved him and his sister, who worked very hard. She was an immigrant from Russia. She'd also lived in Germany before. I think one other country over in Europe. But she came from Russia. She immigrated to the United States. She was fortunate to do so. Because at the time, Joseph Stalin was dictator. They weren't letting many people out. Here she comes with her two kids. Had no money at all. She had to go. She actually had to go beg agencies for food and help her pay the rent. She had no bed in her apartments. They slept on the floor. You say, well, why didn't she go down and get food stamps? Well, they didn't have food stamps back then. Why didn't she? Well, shut up. They didn't have those things. They didn't have entitlements back in those days. Well, along comes this young man, Bobby Fischer. And he finally earned his way. Let me just, if you don't know who Bobby Fischer is, let me say this. He has been called by many the greatest chess master who ever lived. He was greater than an Einstein. And he finally got so good that nobody could beat him. Now, he really became famous because this was during the Cold War period. And you see, the Russians were claiming that their educational system was superior to the United States. And their communist economic system was superior to capitalism. And they said, our people are so brilliant from our education system. We have the chess champions of the world and no one can beat the Russians. After defeating one champion after another, the young Bobby Fischer in 1972 in Reykjavik, Iceland, of all places where they had the world championship match, he became the first American to receive the title chess champion of the world. How did he do it? He defeated a Russian named Boris Spassky, who at the time was being called the Brain and one of the greatest chess champions who ever lived. But Fischer beat Spassky and beat him many times. It was really a cardinal achievement, and Fischer's name and image was plastered on the covers of magazines, newspapers, film newsreels across the world. Now, up until that time, chess had been sort of a brainy game in which Americans had taken a little interest. But Fischer's victory woke them up. He beat the Russians. He beat the commies. I might want to add something. His mother, being very aware of the horrors of communism and seeing so many people, friends of hers, taken away to the gulags, she certainly indoctrinated her young son, Bobby, who of course was born here in the United States, about the monstrosities of the communist system. And he was very proud that he was beating the Russian communists. And you know, he realized they were cheating. The KGB was spying on him, was helping, you know, they would find out what kind of strategies he was going to use in the game. And they would give these secrets over to their players, trying to get an edge on Fischer. Fischer had no sponsors. He had no rich people to support him. He wasn't given a stipend or help by the CIA or anything. He was just a young man that loved the game. He was born in 1943. And by the way, he's dead today. He died in Iceland, the very place where he had won the first world championship. He died at the age of 64 in the year 2008, just a few years ago, of kidney failure. In 1957, at the budding age of 13, Fischer became the youngest junior chess champion of the United States ever, the youngest ever, at the age of 13. Now, he had started playing, if I can remember, I think he was like 9 years old. His sister was very smart, too. Smart family. And she taught him how to play. He saw her playing one day. He said, how do you play that? Teach me. And she did. Now, most of these world famous chess players, their family gave thousands of dollars to champion chess players to tutor them and teach them. But this young boy who lived in a rattle trap apartment in one of the worst areas of New York City, rat infested, roach eaten, you might say, he got so interested in chess, that's all he wanted to do, play chess. His mother would criticize him. You know, just like every other kid, you know, why, when are you going to go do this? When are you going to take out the trash? When are you going to clean your room? All you want to do is play chess. She didn't know much about chess, but she thought it was a waste of his time. But he loved to play it from the age of 9. That's why by the age of 13, he had become the youngest junior chess champion in the world, and no one taught him but himself. Well, his sister initially taught him a few things. But then after that, he just figured it all out. He would just and he'd play everybody that he could. Pretty soon, though, nobody in that area wanted to play him. He'd go down as a young kid, 10, 11 years old, to these community centers and where they had these chess matches and challenge these old men. Some of them had been, you know, doing pretty good for years, were well known in the chess world. And he beat them. They marveled at how a little kid could do such things. How can that happen? Now, Bobby Fischer has been called the most dominating personality. He was inducted in the Chess Hall of Fame in Miami. They've made several movies, I think, of his life. The most recent one was called Searching for Bobby Fischer, which was also the title of a best-selling book. I believe they've had 15 or 20 books about his life. Very controversial. You'll find out why in a minute if you don't know. I'm going to tell you why he was so very controversial. He made millions of dollars from players' winnings and from commercial endorsements early in his career. If he endorsed something, he'd be on television. You know, I'm Bobby Fischer. Buy this product. Wow. I want to do it. I'll buy it for my kid. Maybe it'll give my kid an advantage to become a genius. Maybe. But unfortunately, Fischer died relatively poor. Very poor, in fact. And not in his native-born country, the United States. Where, get this, where at first all of the United States was proud of him. And he made the cover of Life magazine and Newsweek and Time and so forth. And the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times and the Houston Chronicle newspapers. All, everyone heard about him. And on TV, CBS, ABC, NBC, he beat the Russians. The greatest chess champion in history. An American. It's the first time the Americans had done that good in world competition, for one thing. But when he died, it seems that Bobby Fischer was despised and hated. And the United States government was even seeking to arrest him and put him in prison, federal prison. He almost had to go live in Iceland. Why would a young man who was so beloved, so admired, he was pursued by countless young women who liked his looks and his brains too, and the millions of dollars he was raking in. You know, I didn't even know before I really studied the game of chess that you could make millions of dollars playing chess. But you can. No, he finally was laid to rest in tiny Iceland, the country in which he had first earned the praise and admiration of the world for his unbelievable accomplishment winning against Boris Spassky and becoming the world chess master. And by the way, the people of Iceland loved him. They loved him. Unlike the rest of the world, they invited him to come there and live. And that's where all his friends ended up, till the day he died in the year 2008. You see, the people of Iceland never forgot the man who had brought world fame to Iceland and inspired such intense interest in their little frosty Atlantic outpost of a nation. Bobby Fischer, why was he despised? Why was he so hated? What had he done, this marvelously gifted genius, to so capture the ire, the temper, the fury of so many in the global establishment? I can tell you why. I can tell you why he was an outcast. It was for one reason and one reason only. He was a truth teller. He noticed early on that his opponents from Russia were Jews. That's right, Boris Spassky and all the others who were defeated by young Bobby Fischer turned out to be Jews. Why was that? They were chosen. They were favored. They were actually made rich men by their own government where he had to work for his money, and it was all up to him to get earnings. They lived in mansions and drove nice cars, and their wives and girlfriends and mistresses or whatever had the nicest fur coats and jewelry and such, living in a communist country. Because the Jews were favored. You see, the Jews founded communism. Lenin was a communist Jew. And almost all the early leaders of Soviet communism were Jews. That's why they so hated Christianity and turned Christian churches everywhere into brothels and bawdy houses and even horse stables, and took away priests and ministers throughout Russia and brought them to salt mine and gulags to work themselves to death through exhaustion. The Jews who control Russia and the communist world hated Christianity. 66 million people perished in the USSR. They were sent to their deaths mostly by Jewish bureaucrats. And of course, if we go back in history of the 19th century, we find that the term communism and the first books extolling the virtues of communism were written by Karl Marx. And what was Karl Marx in terms of ethnicity and race? He was a Jew. Communism is Judaism in another form. And right away, he could see that Spassky and all the others were corrupt and were working with a corrupt Jewish system. And Bobby Fischer beat him anyway. He didn't have to cheat like they did. They did everything they could. They would try to keep him awake at night through music in the next room. They would rent the next room, the hotel, then play music loud all night so he couldn't get enough sleep. They would put poisonous substances that would cause him horrible stomach aches and such. You know, poison his food. They would do what, without killing him, they would just try to make him sick. So he was almost unable to play. Oh, he knew all the tricks. He began to complain about it, and the world said, oh, that can't be true. Surely not. But it was. In fact, since the fall of the Iron Curtain, the KGB has released many of the secret documents of this era, and they found out that, yes, he was being persecuted, hounded, cheated, harmed by the Soviet communist Jewish system. And he resented that. And he could see that the Jews ran Russia. It was okay, according to the media in America, for Bobby Fischer to be an American hero or idol. But when he began talking about the Jews, and by the way, remember, he was a genius of a man. It's called the brain. He began to study what had really happened in Russia. His mother encouraged him to find out what really happened in Russia. It wasn't just quote-unquote communist, it was Jews. And his mother had seen the horror of it. And I want to tell you something about his mother. She had gone to Russia to help set up a communist system. She believed it was the best way of life. Now, why did she think that? Why had she gone and to live in Russia, to help Stalin build a great communist utopia? Let me tell you about Bobby Fischer's mother and about Bobby Fischer that you need to know. They were Jewish themselves. But she never emphasized that. She didn't go to the synagogue. She didn't talk about Judaism. But she did talk a lot about communism to her son and her daughter. Bobby Fischer's mother, Regina, was originally from Switzerland. And as I just told you, she lived in Soviet Russia for 2 years. And after seeing the monstrosity, she quickly immigrated to the United States. She was hardworking, honest, and pulled herself up from poverty. She even earned a doctor's degree in medicine. How did she support herself? As I've told you, she mopped floors. She ironed clothes. Can you imagine this woman, single, having to take care of kids, living in a horrible apartment? She passed on to her son, though, some qualities of honesty, authenticity, of kindness, integrity. So when he met the people who didn't have integrity, he actually got angry about it. He didn't just blow it off when somebody had no integrity or were liars or were corrupt or cheaters. It made him furious. He was that kind of a guy. You know, there are not many people like that in the world. How many do you meet that are really courageous enough to shake the cage? Not many. To stand up for what's right? Not many. And the more he studied, you know, first it was just because they cheated him. And his mother said, Jews are corrupt. Remember, she was Jewish. But she told him the Jews are corrupt. Don't trust the Jews. But he was a Jew. Later in life, he was asked if he was a Jew. He said, I don't know and I don't care. I don't want to be one. I know what they are. I know what they do. They're evil. He knew that Jews controlled America and the media too. That's why when he began to say these kind of things, and he was brave enough to say it, you know, even the Bible says people won't tell the truth about the Jews for fear of the Jews. Jesus said that, you know. But Bobby Fischer said things like, quote, America is totally under control of the Jews, and so is Russia and the Soviet Union. Whoa! You're not supposed to say that. After all, the media won't say many nice things about you anymore. The government began to follow him. The FBI and the CIA began to harass him just as much as the KGB was. They began to tell him, you can't go to this country or to that country. And he objected to that. He believed Americans should go wherever they wanted to. It was their constitutional right. He wasn't going to live like a communist. He's going to live like a free man. The government said, you're going to have to do what we tell you to do. He said, I'm not. I'm going to travel wherever I want. I have a right to travel. Freedom. No, they indicted him for traveling where he wanted. He would even visit communist countries. And while he was there, he would tell them communism is evil. It's an evil system. And then the U.S. government would persecute him and say, you're not supposed to be traveling to communist countries. You would think they would appreciate it. You'd think they would have said, good for you. But they didn't. Why? Well, he was an outcast for that one thing, that everywhere on planet Earth is forbidden to be told the truth about the Jews. Now, I might say that Fischer, probably from the circumstances, you know, he didn't have normal boyhood friends because he was a brain, unlike other people. All he seemed to want to do is play chess. He didn't really have a great personality. Oh, he could smile sometimes and talk and converse, but, you know, he wasn't a Clark Gable and a John Wayne and, Mr. Personality. In fact, he was sort of a strange and mysterious character. He marched, as the cliche says, to a different drummer than other people. And the other chess players noticed that. And by the way, when he wanted to be very handsome, he could be. He had a tailored suit and tie, and his hair was trimmed to perfection. The very picture of a tall, handsome, and quite dashing young fellow. But then he started letting himself go. He said, well, I don't care about looking good to people. Why should they judge me on how I dress and the way I look? Well, folks, they do judge you. For better or worse, they do. And people began to notice that he was often unkempt, unshaven, needed a haircut. A friend said on a fishing trip he took with Fischer to Mexico, said he looked terrible. His clothes all baggy. He wore old beat-up shoes. He didn't really care what he looked like. He didn't really want to be rich anyway. He didn't care about making money. He just loved playing chess. That was his whole life. Now, along the way somewhere, he became a Christian. Said, I believe that Jesus Christ is true. I think that's interesting. Somewhere along the way, he became a Christian. I haven't been able to read exactly about that era. And you know what? That made him realize even more the truth about the Jews. Because then he began to read about what the Apostle Paul had said. The Apostle Peter. Jesus Christ himself. He realized what the Bible said about the Jews. Remember, Jesus said to the Jews, you're of your father, the devil, and his works you will do. Fisher said, well, that's what I've discovered, too, about the Jews. And then Bobby Fisher began to study world history, the history of Judaism, the history of Israel, the history of the Jews. He saw the evil, the wickedness, the corruption, and he didn't mind telling people of it. So, to me, the fact that he did not care about what people thought of him or what the outside world thought, but he loved the truth, loved to be a truth teller, well, that raises him up a few notches in my estimation, maybe not yours. You know, Wanda and I talked about Bobby Fisher. She says, well, that's only because that's the way you are. You've never cared about what you look like. You know, you don't go to some store and get a tailor-made suit and, you know, no, that's true. I don't. I don't wear a Rolex watch and all that. I like Wanda to dress nice, but for me, I don't care. I wear t-shirts to work. I think I look pretty nice in t-shirts. I pay about $10 for each one of them. I think that's enough to pay for a shirt, don't you, Jerry? $10 at Walmart? Yeah, I do. I think that's just fine. Now, Wanda, she doesn't like that, you know. And she wants me to buy nice shoes. I wear these sass shoes. You know, these are just, you know, I think they're okay. They look a little odd with my suit, but, you know, that's okay. I remember when I first started this ministry, I had a watch that I'd bought at Target or Kmart. I can't remember which. It's kind of like, you know, it works okay. It works as good as an expensive watch. It cost $29.95. And it was fake gold, you know, but on TV you couldn't tell anyway. So I said, well, I buy a lot, pay a lot for a fancy watch, you know. I go on these TV shows and, you know, everybody, the thing is, people began to think that I had a fancy gold watch, you know, probably cost $50,000 or something. And I remember getting a letter from this guy. He said, I just saw you on TV, Mr. Morris. And I'll tell you what, I'll never support your ministry. I can see you're so prosperous. You're very rich. You were even wearing a gold watch. And I looked at my watch. I said, see, Wanda, I don't need a better watch. This guy thought I had an expensive watch on. It's a Kmart special. And she just laughed and laughed. Oh, my. And, you know, Wanda one time wanted to buy me one of these pins. What are they called? I don't know, they're expensive. They cost like $200. It was going to be a very special gift she gave me for Christmas or my birthday or something. I don't know. They have a little white dot on them. I forget the name of those. Mont Blanc pins. She said, if you wear that, you know, you'll look so nice. That's the way women are, you know. They want you to dress up and look nice. And I should, just for her sake, every once in a while, you know. So, but I didn't want to pay $200 for a pin. And you know that this is true, Jerry. We buy a whole box. I think they cost about 7 cents each, you know, ballpoint pins. That's what I, 7 cents ballpoint pen, $200 for a Mont Blanc. You got to be kidding me. They may be more than that nowadays. I'm not sure. But anyway, she finally got me one of these knockoff pens. I think it was made in Japan and it cost like, you know, $20 or $30. And she said, everybody will think it's a Mont Blanc. You know, women are really something. I understand. You know, she thinks it's her duty. She thinks she's blamed if I don't look good. They always blame the wife, she says. Bless her heart. She's got a lot to put up with married to me, doesn't she? Boy. Hey, we'll be right back in just a minute. I'll tell you more about what happened to Bobby Fisher, a man I greatly respect. And by the way, I wrote a lot about him in my new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You'll want to know all about him. I've got pictures of him in here and amazing things, many quotes from him, his philosophy of the game of chess. And you know, it's sort of the philosophy I have in the writing and in ministry work. I have the same kind of philosophy as does Bobby Fisher. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Well, Tex Mars back here again, folks. So glad to have you listen in as we talk about Bobby Fisher and what he thought and said about the Jews. It's going to become very interesting the last half of this show. But again, I want to tell you about a project that we have once a year called Employee Appreciation Month. We don't have a big staff here, but we have a staff that loves their jobs, that cares for you, that wants
with all their hearts to serve God. And quite frankly, I'm not complaining. I'm not going to whine very much about it. Maybe a little bit, because they deserve it. They're good people. And listen to me very carefully, folks. We don't have the money. We're not a rich ministry. We don't have millionaires giving us love gifts. We've got the little people of the world. I'm a little person myself. I don't mean in size, but I do mean in terms of just being, you know, an everyday person. And we are not able to give fancy salaries. We don't give expense accounts to any of our people. We don't, they don't even have medical insurance. We cannot afford that. We don't contribute to a 401k or an IRA or anything like that. They have no retirement benefits. And really, they make a lot less than they would get in similar jobs outside our ministry. And we need your help for them. They need a little reward. They need a little help because they work for it and they care. Now, none of the employees came to me and said, Tex, will you please ask the people out there to help us, you know, at least once a year with a love offering or a gift? No, none of them ever asked for anything like that. They're really, I don't know why they don't, but they, you know, for one thing, they're all involved in the ministry, and Juan and I don't hide anything from them. They see the bank accounts. They know how much money we bring in, and they know how much we spend. And unfortunately, we spend more than we bring in. And the only way we're able to stay, you know, even up with the water level, and it keeps going above our nose. I tell you, that's pretty tough when it goes above your nose. But in any case, they know that we cannot afford any more than we're giving them. And only your love gifts and your offerings and your donation to this ministry are able to keep us afloat at all. All right? But they do deserve more, and we want to ask you to show your appreciation if you can afford it. Now, I don't want you to, if you're on Social Security or something, on a limited income, and you can't even afford food for yourself, no, don't do that. We'll be okay. But if you can afford to give extra, please, would you do so? And send it to Power Prophecy Ministries, or to Tex Mars. Put a little note on it, though, or a letter in there, and say, this donation is for your employees for this month, the Employees Appreciation Month. Just say it's for your staff, Tex, all right? And then it won't go in the kitty, you might say the treasury of the bank account for the ministry. Now, we need money in the ministry, too. Don't get me wrong. So you might give a love gift, and part of it designate to the employees' appreciation, and the rest just goes to the ministry. But let us know, then designate. You might want to give $100 if you can afford it, and give, you know, $50 for the employees and $50 for the ministry. Or, you know, whatever it is, maybe $10 for the employees and $90 for the ministry, or $90 for the employees and $10 for the ministry. I don't know what you want to do. Let God, His Holy Spirit, talk to your heart, okay? But we do definitely need your help. We just do this once a year. We have this project. At some time during this month, could you please give? And again, I will personally make sure it goes into the employees fund. You know, not that we don't need money in the ministry too, but if you designate it for the employees, you better believe that's where we're going to put it. And these folks will be very, very thankful. I can tell you the smile on their face. Last year, it was the first time we've ever done that. We have employees here been working almost 2 decades here. And this is the first time we ever did this last year. So please, won't you help us? And by the way, to help the ministry, remember my new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Buy a copy for a friend. Buy a copy for your pastor. He might not appreciate it, but he needs it anyway. Your friend might actually love it. I think once they read it, they will. They'll appreciate it a lot more. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Hey, send your love gift offering donation to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can also make donations to the ministry through powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com on the internet. You can order the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. I think the price is what, Jerry? It's the $25. That's right. It's retail $29.95, but we give it for $25 through the ministry. Then add $5 shipping and handling. So it'll be a total of $30. Send to Power of Prophecy or to text Mars. Ask for the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now you can call us toll free to make a donation to the ministry or for our employees appreciation month. And our phone number here is toll free. That's free. 1-800-234-9673. Again, our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program. You know, I have a whole chapter about Bobby Fischer, world chess master, brain, one of the greatest acknowledged geniuses in the world. Even his enemies, even the Jews, had to acknowledge the guy was brilliant in his mind. And they tried to put out word through the media that he was just a crank. He was just an evil person. He was delusional or crazy, misinformed, quite possibly ignorant, which that quite didn't quite go over, because of his claims about the Jews, about true world history revised. Did you know that a researcher recently found 750 pages of files that the FBI had amassed on just his mother alone? 750 pages. They would constantly spy on her. Just a working girl is all she really was. As far as Bobby Fischer, he had a humongous FBI dossier amassing over 900 pages. They were wiretapping the guy and spying on him all the time. Just because of his public, hey, they didn't need to spy on the guy. They could have come and said, what do you think about the Jews? What about the history of Judaism? What about the setting up of Israel in 1948? What about what they've done to the Palestinians? Bobby Fischer would have given you his opinion. You don't need to spy on the guy. If you ask him, what'd you have for breakfast yesterday? He'd probably say, well, I had eggs or whatever he had. The guy was harmless in that respect. He never hurt anybody. He never robbed anybody. He never cheated anybody. I don't think the guy, you know, smoked or drank or certainly never took drugs. Pretty harmless guy. I don't know if there's any evidence that he even ran a stop sign or a stoplight. But still, 900 pages they had on the FBI files. Evidently, the very words of Bobby Fischer were considered dangerous and criminal. Now, we all know about what the Jews are trying to push on America now to pass this legislation, hate crimes. It's really just thought crimes from George Orwell's 1984. You know, hate crime and thought crimes legislation has been passed in country and country after the world, thanks to the Jewish ADL and all the various Jewish organizations. Countless victims are to this day locked away in prison cells in Germany, Austria, France, Australia, because people exercise their rights to free speech. You know, I've been notified that if I go to many countries in the world, to Australia, to Great Britain, to Germany, they'll put Tex Mars in prison. Why? Well, I've had a lot of things to say about the Jews and Israel and Judaism. I've told the truth. You know, there's a lot of questions. There are a lot of myths about the Holocaust, about what really happened in Nazi concentration camps. Now, you can question anything in the world except that. It's against the law to even question it. It's forbidden of people to say, you know, maybe 6 million didn't die. Only 4 million died. Wow. Go to prison. You know, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. See, I do know games. My own Monopoly. Come back to help me here. Well, my good friend Ernest Zundel lived here in America with his lovely wife, Ingrid. And the Jews in Germany, they controlled the government of Germany, have ever since World War II. They conspired with the U.S. Justice Department to have Ingrid's husband, Ernst Zundel, picked up. Because he had written a little booklet, or book, Did 6 million Really Die in the Camps? You can't say that. You can't ask that question. You say all text, they would not. That's free speech. Even if what you write is not true, it's just your opinion. This is a free country. Yeah, we'll tell it to Ingrid Zundel,
her husband, Ernie, spent several years in prison cells in Germany. He told the court, as a lawyer did, we'd like to present evidence of what Mr. Zundel said is true. You know what the German court told him? We're not interested in hearing the truth. That's not an issue. That's no defense. If he stated his opinion on this subject and it doesn't go along with what the Jews say, he goes to prison. Boy, we sure need a Thomas Jefferson now, don't we? We sure need a George Washington. We need to do some overthrowing of these tyrants and some of these communist Jewish nations that exist right here. Seems like we got rid of the Nazis and the communists move right in. Jews control the courts of Germany to this day. Now, if the Jews could have succeeded in their decades-long effort to find some puny little crime to send Bobby Fischer to a long stay in prison, they would have certainly done so. But fortunately, he was a harmless target. He was a pacifist, a nonviolent man. He was against wars. He said, as a Christian, I oppose killing people in wars. Well, what a novel thought. It'd be nice if some of the evangelical Christians and some of these Zionist presidential candidates like Michelle Bachmann, like Barack Obama, like Rick Perry believed in Christianity too. Instead, people like Rick Perry have a great big prayer meeting. Let's pray for America, and let's pray for our president. And by the way, let's pray that God will allow us to murder a few more Muslims. Oh, no, he didn't actually say that. But that's what he thinks. Because all of them are Zionists and are promoting Israelism. In fact, some of them admire Israel and support Israel more than they do their own native nation where they're born of America. Not Bobby Fischer. He treated all people alike. Whether you're from France or Italy or Romania or Russia or America, he treated you the same. But he didn't love communism very much. In fact, didn't love it at all. He didn't love Jews and Judaism in terms of their beliefs and ideology. He never would have hurt anybody. But he knew these things were evil, and he wanted to correct them. If you're too passionate about truth, folks, you're not going to get along with an insane world today. There's a mass psychosis in this world. Let me just tell you, if you actually believe what the Bible says, for example, when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, that's not right. I mean, Christian evangelicals don't believe that. Blessed are the peacemakers? No, blessed are the warmongers. That's what they think. That's what presidents, Democrat or Republicans, say. But Bobby Fischer didn't go along with that. And you know, because he sort of did what he wanted as a free man, finally he was indicted and they told him if he returned to the United States, he would be put on trial. So he was prevented permanently from returning to the United States, even to attend. They would not even let him attend the funerals of his mother and sister. Nice people up there in the government. Nice people in the Justice Department. Your mother dies, never had a father. Your only sister, Joan, dies. You can't even come back for their funeral. But this is a Christian nation, isn't it? And our presidents always have prayer breakfast and all that. They're all Christians. Now, what Bobby Fischer said about the Jews in Israel was pretty much on target. Pretty much on target. If you don't believe it, read the Gulag Archipelago by the brave Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Read the book we offer in the ministry entitled Behind Communism by Frank Britton, or any of 100 other books I could recommend to truth seekers. But it's not what the Jews in Israel or the Zionist Gentiles in Washington, D.C. want you to know. They're doing everything they can to get these books out of bookstores. That's why we offer the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion through Power of Prophecy. Because the ADL and others want to strip it, want to just take it out, want to burn it, want to censor these things. They're book burners, really. I'm not saying they've had any big bonfires lately, but I suspect they'd like to. Now, some people ask me, did you know that Bobby Fischer was just so angry at the Jews sometime? Yeah, I know that. Well, isn't it a sin to be angry, to have a temper tantrum? Maybe. Of course, Jesus had one, didn't he? He went in the temple of God and he saw the money changers. What did he walk by and say? Cool. Wonderful. How nice. Hope you're making enough money today, kind sir. Won't you read the Bible if you think that's what he did? No, he dramatically overthrew their tables where they were making money, where they were making his house, the temple of God, into a den of thieves. He was angry. You know, there's something that I call righteous indignation. When I see a young kid, a young child, when I see an animal, a little kitten or a puppy being abused by somebody, I get angry. You say, on a text, you shouldn't do that. You should keep your cool. I've stopped my car when I saw a man several times, Wanda will tell you, abusing a dog. I'll stop my car and say, you get your filthy hands off that dog. And I'll tell you, if Wanda and I are in some grocery store and she sees a mother just slap, slap their little kid across the face, that's not what you do to a kid. I don't mind punishment. You know, whack them a couple times on the rear end. My dad, mom did me. But you know, my mom and dad never slapped me in the face. Nobody. And my dad had third grade education. My mother had probably second grade education, but they weren't dumb people. They just came from very poor folks back in the farmland of Arkansas. But they knew how to love kids. They knew how to tell us about Jesus. My dad knew enough to tell me to treat every man and woman, black, white, yellow, it doesn't matter, with dignity and respect. I don't think they were so dumb after all. What do you think, friends? But if Wanda sees a person do that, let me tell you, she will object. She, in a big, big way. I was at a food store right at the beginning of this summer, and a woman had, it was, you know, it's 105, 106 degrees for like 40 days here in Texas. Horribly hot. We went into the food store, and we saw that there was a little dog in the front seat of this SUV parked there. All the windows up. And its little tongue, it was just, you can die pretty quick in the hot sun like that. Little animals. We went in, we did our shopping. I thought, well, maybe the woman just ran in to get a carton of milk or something, you know, or bread. We came out about 20 minutes, that poor dog was there in the seat. And his little head was just drooping. I looked at it and I made a quick decision. I said, now either I'm going to break that window right now and take that dog to a police station, or I'm going to go in there and demand that the store manager call the whoever the owner of the, you know, the SUV, Ford SUV with license number such, such, please go to your vehicle immediately. Either one of those two things I was going to do. Well, I guess I was feeling a little bit nicer than mean. So I went in and I ran as fast as I could up to the where they had the microphone for the store, you know, the little bitty booth they've got. I told them about it, and they announced it. And this, it doesn't matter what she was, but it was a black woman. She comes running toward her car. What's wrong? What's wrong? And I pointed to her dog. I said, that's what's wrong. It's hot out here, lady. It's hot, and I'm not in a car with the windows. And I let her know. I was just ready to break your window. Well, she let out with a string of curse words against me. Mind your own business. I said, lady, it is my business. It's everybody's business. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Wanda said, you know, Tex, you're going to get yourself shot someday doing those things. Listen, I do. I mind my business. I think every man should just do what he wants to do, any woman. But you don't hurt an animal. You don't hurt a kid. I'll tell you something else. Anybody that would run fast to violence or to war, to me, is insane. That's why people like John Hagee that says, we ought to nuke all of the Iranians. Well, why don't we nuke you, big boy? Nuke the Iranians. They're people. Wouldn't you prefer being a pastor to reach them for Jesus Christ? Goodness gracious. Let me tell you a little bit about the things that Bobby Fischer said. And I list all of these are all quotes from him. No wonder they didn't like the guy. Here was the world's brain. The guy, the world's chess master, one of the greatest chess masters who ever lived, who was known as one of the brilliant thinkers of our time. And here are the things that he said. Don't you know this riled up the Jews and the Mossad and the ADL and the American Jewish Committee and the Southern Poverty Law Center and every other group like that run by the Jews? Here's one of the things he says. And by the way, they wouldn't let him say it in the press. They wouldn't let him say it on CBS, NBC, ABC, and all the others. You know, he started going around to talk shows, small little talk shows. Mostly overseas. Well, couldn't do it in the United States. But in Japan, he would go talk shows. In Iceland. Even in the Philippines, in Asia. They would allow him because he was such a big name. He was such a famous person. They would allow him to go on talk shows. And he always told the host, ask me about what I think about the Jews in Israel. He went out of his way to tell the truth. Here's some of the things he said. He said, this is Bobby Fischer speaking. There is no United States, as people think about a country. It's just a puppet in the Jews' hands. It's a plaything for the Jews. The United States government and the American Jewry are virtually interchangeable. They're liars. Jews are always liars throughout their history. They're a filthy, dirty, disgusting, vile, criminal people. They are just unbelievably wicked. That's what he said on a Philippines show, September 11th, 2001. Boy, that's laying it straight out, isn't it? Here's what he said on another Filipino radio show. He said, America is totally under control of the Jews. You know, I mean, look what they're doing in Yugoslavia. The Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, and the Secretary of Defense, William Cohen, themselves are dirty Jews. And that's why they're killing people. They have no conscience. Here's another thing he said. He said, what is going on is I'm being persecuted day and night by the Jews for telling it like it is. They want to put me in jail. They're robbing me of everything I have. They're continuously lying about me. I've had enough, he said. He said, the latest thing they have done is I had some stuff in storage back in Pasadena for 12 years. Spent a fortune on storage fees, a fortune on safes, mementos and things like that. But the Jews in America just went in and grabbed it all and got away with it. They attack my name, exploit my name, violate my rights, violate my intellectual property rights. But this is a new level. They're just stealing my belongings. They're thieves. He said that when he was in the country of Hungary. Here's another one. He said, the Jews don't want me to succeed in any of my projects. They want me to be a failure. They want to utterly destroy my reputation for all time. I'm sorry to say it, but Jews are vicious rats. America is a Jew country. There are a bunch of crooks there. The Jews control everything and everybody. Why do they want to destroy me? He stated at another time, because I beat the Jews in chess. I beat them badly, too. I beat them very badly. Not only that, but I exposed the Jews as cheaters in chess, as outright crooks. Plus, now get this, folks. Plus, said Bobby Fischer, I exposed the Holocaust as never having happened. Totally made up. The Jews are liars. There's not a shred of truth to this Holocaust. Oh, my. Now, remember, friends, Bobby Fischer was a Jew, which goes to show you, an honest man of integrity is an honest man of integrity. He can be a Nigerian, he can be a Colombian, he can be a Canadian, or he can be a Jew, or an American. An honest man or woman is an honest person, period. Here's something else he said about the Jews. He said, the Jews are antisocial, destructive, intolerant, mean-spirited, deceitful. Whoa. They wish to destroy, rule, and kill. They rob whoever gets in their way. To facilitate them getting what they want, they have developed a perverted, unnatural, destructive, evil lifestyle. They live off of non-Jews as parasites, but they still hate them and wish to destroy them. Jews hate nature and the natural order because it's pure and beautiful, and also because it's bigger and stronger than they are, and they feel they cannot fully control it. Nature's beauty and harmony stands in stark contrast to their, the Jews, squalidness and ugliness, and that makes them hate it all the more. Next, I can keep going with these quotes, all found in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Listen to this, folks. Bobby Fischer, Jews are destroyers. They're anti-humans. The anti-human Jew hates and wants to destroy all non-Jews. He will also destroy even other Jews who are less destructive and evil than he is, if they get in his way. The wickedness of the Jews is apparently genetically based. Jews are destroyers. Then he says, by the act of circumcision, the Jew shows his hatred towards nature and the natural order. By this one bloody, cruel, senseless act, circumcision, he shows his cruelty and sadism, and that he will stop at nothing to obtain his ends. Surely the Jews are also behind the Islamic circumcision, which serves as an ideal cover and distraction from their own wickedness in this regard. He goes on to say at another time, no lie is too big for a Jew. No lie is too small for a Jew. Jews live by lying, and they die by lying, without ever coming into contact with truth, he says. They're liars. They're a dirty, disgusting, vile, criminal people. Then he said this, he said, the Jews have been hardened against Christ, against decency for thousands of years. They have enemies all over the world, but they made these enemies by their hatred. They hate me, he says, but so what? I don't think there'll be any world peace as long as these Jews have any power in the world. They are absolute animals. And again, the U.S. government and American Jewry are virtually interchangeable. He says, before I became chess champion of the world, other people that were Gentiles were good enough to be world champions, but they were cheated by the Jews every time. Then he said, almost everyone who has been around me turned out to be a secret agent working for the Jews, working for the CIA. Unbelievable, but true. By the way, friends, that turned out to be factual when the secret documents came out. Well, Bobby Fischer had all these things and a lot more to say. I wish I had more time. I'll tell you what Bobby Fischer said on the game of chess and just about life in general. Hard worker, study the game, and that's about the only fighting that he did over a chessboard when he was using his brain to defeat his opponents. You know, folks, there are some heroes in this world. They wanted to kill Bobby Fischer. In fact, for a while, he was put in the United States had him locked up in a Japanese cell. The only thing he disliked more than evil Jews was evil homosexuals. He knew homosexuality was an unnatural thing, an unnatural act. And he said, you have to be a devil to be a homosexual. He was right. They do have reprobate minds. The Bible says so. The Bible says that the Jews, though, can be redeemed like any other man or woman. If they repent, if they give up their evil ways, but most of all, if they believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Messiah. Instead, their Talmud calls Jesus a bastard. Their Talmud says that Jesus blasphemed and is now residing in hell being punished forever. Their Talmud of the Jews says that Jesus' mother, Mary, was a whore. Sad. Now, what do you do about Jews? I don't know what Bobby Fischer wanted to do with them, but I know what I would like to do. I'd like to pray for them. I'd like to see as many Jews as possible in heaven with me. No, you can't hate. I pray that Bobby Fischer did not hate. He said he was a Christian. Pray that he was. I take it at his word. But I know one thing. He was a brave man that told the truth about Jews. And just as Pilate said, in those days when they had brought Jesus before him and they wanted Pilate to find Jesus guilty and put him to death, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. I've looked at the life of Bobby Fischer. I know what really happened in his case. His grave is a very simple one with a cross on it. I've seen the gravesite. I've seen the stone there. I find no fault in this man. Well, this has been Tex Mars. Hope you've enjoyed today's program. And I pray that you will tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.